Three, just real quick, I'm going to go ahead and just do a little announcements and maybe prayer requests. We have our service times every Friday, Wednesday, and Sunday, 5:30 p.m. EST Fellowship. Now, we start a little bit early, but around this time, we'll start the music, 5:45 p.m. EST, around 6 p.m. EST is when the preaching starts. Of course, we're getting a new world here soon. That's going to be exciting. Other than that, we're going to go into prayer requests. Anyone has any prayer requests? What's up, Ashes? What's going on?
For YouTube to work with the video players so it stops being foobarred for me.
Got you.
Request for that.
Lord, I pray you help Ashes with his YouTube thing, Lord, that the video player will work. I pray you work all things out for him, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Anybody else?
I got one.
Okay, what's up?
Yeah, I have one.
Two, all right.
Me and my boss just put together an album of our years of work and stuff we've made. So we just put it on Spotify and just wishes the best it succeeds. We worked pretty hard on it.
Amen. Yeah, Father God, I pray for Biff and the Spotify thing. Well, you bless it, Lord. I just pray you work that out for him, Lord, and the law of hard work into that, Lord. I just pray you help him with that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Spooky.
Hey, what's the name of your group? I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, what? I have Spotify. I'll look it up. What's your album?
Oh, we're not put it together yet. We're not. We got all this stuff together. Just
okay.
I'll catch the stuff. Yeah. Brother Spooky, what's your prayer request, brother?
Thank you.
Just ask that you pray for God to show me a way through the shit that I'm dealing with currently.
For sure, man. Father, I pray for Brother Spooky, Lord, that you just give some revelation with what he's going through right now, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you show him that he has everything he needs in you, life, victory, grace, mercy, all of it found in you, Lord. I just pray you help him get through this hard time, Lord, that your grace is made perfect in weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. Who raised your hand? Was it Logan? Logan, what's up? Both of you guys. Okay, Logan, what's up?
I'm pretty new to this.
Okay.
I have a friend in America who I would like to mention first. He's been a friend of mine for a very long time, and he's been dealing with some stuff, and I would like to hopefully have her have good times ahead, and
for sure.
Me and my family as well.
Father, I pray for Logan here, Lord, that you help him and with his American friend, Lord, what she's going through. I just pray you help her get through it, Lord. Give her some revelation, Lord. Lord, also pray for Logan that you help him with his friends and family, Lord, that you'd help him, just in the future. It'll be a good time, Lord. I just pray you bless them, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't know how to pronounce your name. You go ahead.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm pretty new to all this, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I just want to be closer to the Lord as I can.
Sure.
Well, most day of my life right now, I just would like to have some lifting, and I know being near him would be the best way that I possibly can do that.
Okay. Yeah. So, Lord, I just pray you remind this sister here, Lord, that she has everything she needs in you, that she's already close to you as she can be. You said whosoever believeth in you is one spirit with you, Lord. And that we've been brought with a price, brought near with the blood. And we thank you for that, Lord. I just pray remind her of that good news, Lord, that she lacks nothing. She's completed in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Green Apple. What's up, sister?
Pray for the success of the church in the making.
Yeah. Amen. Green Apple is our person who's working on our new church world. All right, Father, I pray for Apple over there, Lord, that you help her with the world, give her some revelation, the wisdom she needs to get it done. I just pray you bless her, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right.
Yeah.
Oh, Demon Hunter, what's up?
I guess just pray for all of us that, we're all going through some stuff. Just
pray for sure. Amen, brother. Yeah, Father, I pray for all of us here, Lord, that you help us, what we're going through, get through it, Lord. We know that you're working all things out for our good, even the negative stuff in our life. You're turning that around for the best for us, Lord. In the counsel of your will, we thank you for your love and mercy, Lord. I pray you help us to rest in your grace and not in our status, not in our performance, but rest in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We'll go ahead and get started with service. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that's our text today. I'm going to read verse 13 and 18. You're free to follow along. And not as Moses with put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded for until this day. remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which the veil is done away with in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we are all with an open face beholding as in the glass of glory the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, the title of my message today, I think, you know, everyone's going through a lot, and I thought maybe this might be a good message to talk about, and that is enjoying God. And what do we mean by that? What do I mean by that? Enjoying God. And I want to focus on that, enjoying God in this lifetime. My first point is this, is that God is not asking you to earn his love. We grew up in religion and churches and just school, and most of the time they present God as this hard taskmaster, right? In order to get his favor or his blessing, you have to earn it, work for it, right? When us were taught that following God means what? Trying harder, doing better, fixing ourselves, or proving we are worthy. But that's not the gospel, right? God doesn't want us to earn his love. He wants us to enjoy his love and enjoy him. And the Bible tells us that he loves us with an everlasting love. And the gospel demonstrates God's love. And so, well, what is the gospel? I remember back in 2020, if you're on TikTok, you have those people like, oh, spread the gospel, and it's just random Bible verses. Okay, here's the thing. The Bible is not the gospel. The Bible contains the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is described in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose in the third day. That is the gospel. And the Bible tells us in Romans 4, if we place our faith in the gospel, we are justified. So what does that mean? It means you're declared righteous. It means you are forgiven of all your sins, right? Justified. Just as I never sinned. The moment you believe the gospel, all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. And because we are justified, meaning we're also righteous, but now qualified, we can enjoy God because his love for us doesn't change. His grace never runs out. His forgiveness is complete. Romans chapter 8, read it. It says, nothing we do can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Remember that. Nothing you do. Okay, your mistakes, your failures, your bad thoughts. I didn't pray today. I didn't read my Bible today. None of that can separate you from God's love. Because God's love is not based on whether you read your Bible or don't read your Bible. It is solely based on the finished work of Jesus. His love for you doesn't change. I'm sorry if I'm lagging like that. Let me back up a little bit. His love for you doesn't change. Your status may change, right? You might not feel the same way, but between you and God, it never changes. In God's eyes, you're always holy and righteous, right? Your standing before him is not based on your status, based on your performance, based on your conditions, based solely on his finished work. And so, well, this is a new message to me, because in religion, we were left with this weird view of God as this hard taskmaster. And Paul's kind of talking about this in 2 Corinthians 3, how the Jews have a veil over their eyes. And the Jews were law keepers. They don't realize we're free from the law. And what does that mean? I mean, we're free from performance. We're free from living in a performance system, a conditional system. We're now free in Christ. Grace, God's grace, it shows us that we don't have to climb a ladder to him. It's him coming down to us. You don't work for his love. You can rest in it. So I mean, enjoy God. Enjoy his love. His eternal love for you. That nothing you do can separate you from him. Nobody can. I can't separate you. Let's say we meet. I didn't like you. I said, oh, I don't like this or whatever. But I can't separate you from his love. Nobody can. No pastor, no teacher. Nobody. My second point is enjoying God means living free. When we forget grace, right, we start living like we're back in chains, bondage. You're no longer an orphan. The Bible says we've been made children of God by faith. We're no longer orphans. And what I mean by that? Naturally, we fight for ourselves, provide for ourselves, self-sufficiency. I gotta prove my worth. I gotta prove my acceptance. That's what I mean. We're not orphans. We're now children of God by faith. I mean what? We're now accepted. My sufficiency is His sufficiency. I don't depend on my sufficiency. I depend on His sufficiency. I no longer have to live in this performance conditional system. I can trust God to provide, to be my supply. And we talked about this in Galatians 3 last, our Wednesday Bible study, where, you know, people in Galatia, they went back to the law for Christian living. You know, they thought, well, we're saved by grace through faith, but in order to get God's favor or blessing or things in this life, I must keep the law and try to perfect myself. And Paul says, listen, you foolish Galatian, you begun in the spirit by faith. Are you now perfected by your flesh? And the answer is no. We continue in the hearing of faith. See, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that, hey, He died for our sins. He rose again. That becomes our food and drink. That becomes our milk and honey. That becomes our meat. It's everything in the Christian life, right? People think the Christian life is about restraining the flesh. I gotta stop doing this or else. No. Don't look to the cross. In Ephesians 2:15, the law is abolished. Your conscience is no longer captive. You're free from it. You don't have to condemn yourself. You're free to live. Really free. And enjoying God means living free. Living in your inheritance that you have as a believer. That you're accepted. You're righteous and holy now. Not because you did that or this. Because what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. That through His death, the Bible says, He has presented us holy, unblameable, unprovable in His sight. When people hear this, they usually run to either the gospels. What Jesus said, deny yourself, preacher. Or take up your cross. What about that? That was to show you, my friend, you cannot go where He was going. Paul, we'll see this Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Paul says in Galatians 4, Jesus came to save those who were under the law. Jesus' earthly ministry wasn't for you. You're Gentiles. Most of you are Gentiles. It was for Israel. It was for the circumcision. And what was the purpose of it? To raise the standard of the law. To show mankind we're guilty before God. Remember, Satan did not tempt Adam and Eve with fornication or sexual sin. What did he tempt Adam and Eve with? Godliness. In Genesis 3:8, he says this, you can be like God, knowing from good and evil, which is what? The law. It was Satan who enslaved you in that. God never planned for you to live by the law. Our source, before we ate the tree of good and evil, our source came from God. But when Satan enslaved us consciously with the good and evil, what happened? Adam and Eve thought what? Being naked was a shameful thing. And they were guilty. And their conscience became enslaved. So what did God do? God gave the law to Israel to say, okay, if you think you're righteous, I'm going to show you how righteous I am. I'm going to show you what this tree will show you, how holy and righteous I am. And the purpose of the law was what? To make us guilty. Romans 3:19. What the law says, it says to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. And the good news is what? Therefore, Paul says, we are justified by faith, not by the works of the law. We had a bunch of alt-right people come attack our church last week. And one of them quoted to me Leviticus 20:13. I said, okay, it's funny because all these alt-right people are against Jews, right? And they're quoting that verse. I'm saying, well, dude, you're living like a Jew. We died to the law. Paul's Gentile, right? You know, if you're this alt-right guy and you're against Jews, well, you're trying to get people to live like Jews by quoting that verse. We die to that. Galatians 2:19, for I am dead to the law to live unto God. Because God's law wasn't given to save you. It was to make you guilty. It wasn't given to justify you, to sanctify you, to be your rule book for your life. It was to show you you're a sinner. Romans 3:10, as it is written, my friend, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. So my first point is what? You don't have to earn God's love. You already have it. My second point, what? Enjoying God means living free. You're free. You can stop trying to impress people. You can stop trying to hide your weakness. You can stop pretending that you're strong. And you can stop trying to perform to be accepted. You're free from all that. You're free. You don't have to do your dance before religious people. You don't have to hide your weakness You don't have to pretend that you're strong. It's okay to be broken. Really, it's okay to be broken. Why? Because Christ says you're free. Free to what? Sorry, my virtual desktop's messed up. Sorry. You're free to rest. You're free to be real. You're free to be honest. You're free to be imperfect. You're free to what? Breathe again. It's okay to have it all together. None of us do. And you don't have to have it all together for God to delight in you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 that we are a sweet savior, right? I mean taste. Other translation might say aroma. A taste. God delights in you. God is comfortable with you. He's pleased with you. Why? Because of the cross. You are now a sweet savior in Christ. So enjoying God means letting go of that pressure to perform. A lot of you play VR chat. A lot of you are in communities. You have groups you made, bars, stuff. And you know what? It is free to breathe. It's free to say, I don't have it all together. And that's okay. Because when you have those groups, you have to perform, right? You have to act like you have it all together and make sure you know everything. And you know it's okay to with God. It's just, I don't have to be that. We don't. Enjoy the love that you have in Christ. Enjoy the rest and grace and peace you have. And you know, I know a lot of us been taught up as kids that, well, the gospel is give your life to Jesus. No, the gospel is give you, that Christ gave his life for you. See, the gospel is not surrender to God, make him Lord. It's not repent of your sins. It's not self-reformation or self-improvement. The gospel is that, hey, you are a sinner. You're guilty. But the good news is that I became sin so you can be my righteousness, Jesus said. Martin Luther said a quote, and he said, learn to know Christ crucified. I talked about that in Galatians, our series. And he said, learn to sing this in your heart. Lord, you're my righteousness, and I am your sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, he made him to be sin for us, yet knew no sin. God had no sin, but became sin. He became the porn addict on the cross. He became the dope addict on the cross. He became the serial killer. He became all that. Jesus became unjust so you can be just before him by faith. That was the good news of the gospel. And when we get saved, the Christian life is not about repaying God. The Christian life is about enjoying your God and what he's accomplished for you. This is grace. This is the revelation that Paul received. That's what it means to be Pauline. My third point is this. Enjoy the gifts that God gives every day. So what do I mean by that? Right? God doesn't just save you, then just is this cold, distant figure. No, he fills your life with mounds of joy, right? You say, well, where's that? It could be a laugh of a friend, a song that you like that moves your heart, a warm meal, a deep breath, a quiet surprise, or a quiet sunrise, a hug, a memory, a simple smile. But not just that, enjoy his mercy. Enjoy the love. Enjoy what he has accomplished. And so the Christian life is not about restraining the flesh. It's about growing in our inheritance as believers. That's what it's all about. And you know, I see these street preachers, these other Christians on VR chat talking about God loves you. But then when you hear their message, it's all about what? Self-improvement. Self-restraint. It's about you. And it's never about who? The Messiah, Jesus. There's no good news in that. How can you tell someone God loves them but at the same time condemn them and think they're going to go to hell because they've done this and this? What does the gospel say? There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned. We're all guilty. But the gospel is that we're justified by Christ, not by what we do. So I am confident to say to you all here that God loves you. I have the boldness to say that because I know it's true because of the cross, because of the finished work. I can point you to that. Because it's that brings life. There's a story in the Old Testament in Isaiah where they lift the pole. It was Moses, my bad. With Moses, they lift the pole and he says, look and live at the pole and you'll live. And that's my message to you today. Look and live. Look at what the cross and live, my brother, my sister. Look and live. There's a hymn. Look and live, my brother, live. Look unto Jesus and live. So enjoying God. And you're free to rest. It's free to be honest. These things that we see in our life, there's songs that I enjoy that are not Christian, but I feel close to God. Well, again, you know, being close to God, let me reuse my language here. This idea of getting close to God. You asked about that prayer request. Let me make this very clear. That every single one of you here today who has believed the gospel, you are as close to God as you can get. The Bible says you're one spirit with the Lord. There's no such thing as getting closer to God. You are close to God. Why? Because of the gospel. When I feel, I should say this, when I listen to certain songs that might not be Christian, but yet I can still see grace in it. I can still see God and I can still enjoy it. Let me reuse my language there. But when we see things like that, you know, a smile from someone, a hug, a memory, we see them as what? Love notes from God. But yet, you know, you are free to just live and enjoy His grace that He has for you. Enjoy the mercy, the love, the acceptance that you have. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, we are accepted in the beloved. Why? Because of the cross. People say they're Christian. I remember I was out talking to people about the gospel. And I saw a guy, you know, Jesus saves, whatever. And I talked to him and his message wasn't saving at all. It was burdenism. Burdenism. Well, you have to turn from all your sins. That's impossible according to the Bible. A lot of people are confused about that because you hear the word repent a lot. Repent, repent, repent. But what does repent mean? Does it mean to turn from sin? No. In the Greek, it's metanoia, a change one's mind. In the context of salvation, it was a change of mind from trusting in yourself to trusting in Jesus. If you believe the gospel, you have repented. You change your mind. But this idea of turning from your sins came from the Catholic Church with the false doctrine of due penance. Well, hello. Which means to atone for something you did. That's a false doctrine. That's not what repent means. The word repent means to change your mind. But religion has taught you all these ideas about God and left you distant, disordered, messed up. So you growing up, what, rejecting God, hating God. Say, this can't be true. But when you look at the gospel, it's what? I love you. I paid your sin debt. I did it all. Why is that so offensive? Because it breaks down pride. See, you know, these people who, we had a guy here and he was all, you know, you got to live right and do this and this. I said, well, you're sinning right now. I'm not sinning. How am I sinning? Because the sin you're doing is the sin in the garden. Thinking you can be righteous, thinking you can be holy apart from God, and thinking you can justify yourself before people and before God by your works and deeds. See, sin's not just bad things we do. It's not pornography. It's not lust. Sin in itself is a principle. Paul describes it as a principle that is stronger than us, that operates within our flesh. And that sin, that principle is stronger than us. So what do? We yield ourselves to God by what? By acknowledging every good thing which is in Christ. He's my righteousness. You're right. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm wicked. You're right. But He's my righteousness. You're not clean, preacher. He's my sanctification. He's my holiness. 1 Corinthians 1, but you are in Christ, it says. And He has made unto Himself to you righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So I'm free to say I'm perfect now. Why? Because God has made me perfect by faith. And this is not based on my status. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on my condition. It is based on what? The gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I'll end with this. Romans chapter 5. So enjoying God in this life, what does it mean as a believer to enjoy God? Enjoy your rest. Enjoy His love. Enjoy His acceptance. Be free. It's okay not to have it all together. It's free to be honest. It's okay to be weak. It is okay to be broken. It's okay to be you. Romans chapter 5, look at this. Verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that, he goes on to say what? By whom we have access by faith into this grace where we stand right now, all of you, whether you feel like it or not, you're standing in God's favor. Why? Because of the cross. I wonder how many of you today have been left with that disordered view where you heard your pastor only preach reformation, self-improvement, try harder, do better. Well, I'm here to preach to you God's grace. I'm here to preach to you the gospel. I'm here to preach to you the finished work of Jesus, what it accomplished. We're not living on the Sermon on the Mount anymore. That was law. We're now on this side of the cross, freedom, rest, because of what Jesus did. It's time for you guys to get updated on the message. It's no longer about you, it's about Christ. And the reason why people are left with this disordered view is because many people have forsaken Paul's message. They treat Paul like he's this distant figure, but yet Christ himself said, Paul, you're a chosen vessel unto me. And what did God reveal to Paul? His freedom from the law. What happened was in the early church, many of the Jews who came to faith were taking the customs of the law and putting it on believers now. And it was a big mix-up. That's why God raised up Paul. And we see the debate between Paul and James. Right? James's letter was written before the events of Acts 15. We've done a study on this in Galatians 2. Check that study out. And our study on Paul versus James. James's letter, Faith Without Works is Dead, people quote that all the time. But that was written before the events of Acts 15, where Paul revealed his revelation to the Jews. And even after that revelation, James was still holding on to the law. We see in Acts 21, where Paul went back to Jerusalem because he got a revelation from God. He was going to get arrested. And he went to James in that place. Why? Because he knew he would get arrested. And James said to Paul, Paul, are you teaching Jews and Gentiles that they're free from the law? And Paul was like, yep. Because he did. We're no longer under it. Now, Paul agreed with James to go up there and do a sacrifice. Why? Because he knew he was going to get arrested. He knew that they were going to see him and say, oh, this is the guy that's telling us to live by faith. And I'm going to show you that. That the good news of the gospel is that Jesus did it all. And you're free to rest. You're free. One more verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when, without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous person. The so-called righteous people, right? They're not really righteous. They think they are. No, Christ died for sinners. He died for the prostitute. He died for the dope addict. He died for the drunk, the wife beater. He died for the victim and the victim and the person of the aggressor. And like it or not, he died for all people. Because in God's eyes, there's none good. But the good news is that God loves us. And he gave himself for us. Verse 8, but God commended, in other words, demonstrated his love towards us. And that while we're yet sinners, while we still sin and we're sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, he says, being now justified, meaning what? Declared righteous, forgiven, qualified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath to come. What is that? Hell. We're saved from that. We're saved from wrath. All because of what? Jesus and his finished work. I hope you look to the cross today. Don't see a sad story. See a love story. That a man, the God man, loved you. And he was a friend of sinners. He ate with them, drank with them. And he went there out of his love, not out of a sorrowful, but out of his love for you. So why, preacher? To make you righteous, to make you holy, to make you free. He did all that for you. And none of it's based on your works. None of it's based on your performance or status or how you feel. It's solely based on the finished work of Jesus. And all you have to do and all we can do, according to the Bible, is simply believe. And what does believe mean? Persuasion. You're convinced. And if you're convinced today that what Jesus did on the cross was for you, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're righteous, you're holy. You may not live like it, but that's what God made you, by faith. Paul, God revealed to Peter, because Peter got a revelation in Acts 10. I'm sorry, I'm going on. But in Acts 10, God revealed to Peter that, hey, Peter, rise up and eat and kill. And Peter said, hold on, God. These animals are unclean. God says, don't call what I call clean unclean. And that was a picture of God calling you clean. Your freedom from the law. Freedom from performance and self-righteousness. You're free from all that. And now you're free on this side of the cross to rest, to know his love, to know his acceptance, to know who you are in him. our flesh, Paul says, the flesh, there's nothing good in it. You can't perfect it. You can't improve it. So what did God do? He judged it. All its virtues, all its sins, the good and the bad. He judged it at the cross. And he has dropped all expectations off of it. He's not seeking something from it. So when you're surprised, I can't believe I did this sin today. God wasn't surprised. He judged at the cross 2,000 years ago. And there's no double jeopardy. You will never be punished for the same sin twice. Why? Because Jesus took all the punishment at the cross. And when you believe that message, his righteousness is imputed to you. And your sins are gone. Past, present, and future. Now, of course, there's natural consequence in this life. This built-in consequence, right? But in God's eyes, you're always in his presence. You're always holy and righteous because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. So I tell you right now with confidence, with boldness, God loves you because of the cross. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I'm still like a hostage. Lord, thank you for the people here, everyone here, Lord. And I pray that this message, you reveal something to them, Lord, that they see that, hey, they're forgiven. They're close with you right now, not because of their works or status or their performance, because on what Jesus did. And now we can rest in you, Lord, rest in that grace, rest in that acceptance, and learn to live from that, Lord. Instead of trusting in our performance, we now trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, service is dismissed.